Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
And there's been a reaction coming in all morning to the issue of our capacity as a nation currently to actually deliver on large-scale infrastructural projects and to deliver on housing. And one of the things that kicked off a fairly significant debate between our panel earlier this morning was the issue of downsizing and of trying to economically incentivize people as they get older to leave houses that one outlook might say they don't need because they are too big, and to convince them to move into apartments, thereby freeing up housing for families. Tech saying, can we by county list the number of accommodations to be built? The country does not want to build to bring down the local feeling that it's only for us. Dublin can't just keep on growing. Water and infrastructure are possible around the country. Look at Limerick, Cork, Galway, to mention a few. And that's a theme that's coming up a lot. A lot of people pointing out that while there may be a significant pressure in terms of house prices in Galway, tech saying, Matt hit the nail on the head. Everything is Dublin, Cork, Galway. What about those of us in the northwest? There is sod all being done up here. Another, I'm 65 years of age. I've worked 47 years, just paid off the mortgage on a four-bedroom house. I couldn't afford to buy in South Dublin where I'm from. In my retirement, I intend renovating my house, creating a Zen garden for my dotage and welcoming family and friends for years to come. And that echoes a sentiment that's coming in a lot of people saying, I have built this house. It is a home and I do not intend to leave it, even if it is theoretically too large. Guys, I have friends in their 50s who are divorced, still living in the same house with each other because there are no housing options out there for them. We all need choice as we get older. Well, as I say, 53106 or 087-1400-106 if you want to express a view. One of the theoretical solutions, or one of the contributions to solutions in some of this area, is in theory the reduction in the use of houses for quasi-hotel purposes. In other words, them being used on Airbnb for short-term lets. Legislation that has gone through Cabinet this week, due to come into effect in May, is aimed to free up, the government says, about 10,000 properties by requiring properties in large urban areas, or landlords in large urban areas, to register their properties if they're going to be used for short-term lets, and requiring companies like Airbnb to make sure that they are so registered or otherwise face large fines. The idea being that suburban and urban housing doesn't get used as quasi-hotel space, but gets used for family homes. With us is Ireland South MEP for Fianna Fáil and member of the European Transport and Tourism Committee, Cynthia Ní Mhíricu. Cynthia, the number of houses that are currently being used in this way, do you buy this estimate that says it's 10,000 that will now arrive back onto the market?
Hi, Anton. Don't eat too many Easter eggs. I don't buy the estimate because to date, unless somebody can correct me, I haven't seen the qualitative evidence. I haven't seen the quantitative evidence to tell me that 10,000 homes as projected, and in good faith, I assume, projected by government and former ministers and civil servants and so forth, that actually will do what it says on the tin. So there's a big difference between theory and practice, as we all know. And in this instance, and it is a very important question to consider, all questions and all issues must be on the table in order to seek to solve our housing crisis. And I listened with keen interest to your debate. But those solutions, each and every one of them, and those suggestions, and this is only a bill at the moment, they have to be proportionate, measured, balanced. And most of all, could I just say, as we say in the country here in Carlow, where I'm speaking from, common sense. There's got to be common sense applied. So by that, I mean, when you look at through the reads on this, you see that it's been proposed that this new bill will affect towns with a population of more than 10,000 people. Now, there's a big difference between a tourist town, and I mean a purely tourist town such as Killarney, with a population of in excess of 10,000, they have at the moment, I believe, 14,000, and a not so dependent wholly on tourism town such as Clonmel, which has a fine tourist offering, I must admit, I've been there, but it's a market town, a commercial town, and it's an agricultural town. Clonmel has a population of 18,000. So there's a big difference here, and what I'm saying, the reason I'm using that illustration is because we don't want to assist in solving a housing crisis, which is so important, but produce another crisis, namely lack of bed nights, whether it's short-term lettings or on various platforms, not just Airbnb, but others as well, for tourism. And that means our micro-tourism businesses all around the counties that I represent. I'm in the sunny southeast now, but obviously I represent the southwest as well, which is our one of our major, major tourist regions and such a major revenue for this country. We don't want to destroy that. And by that, we're talking about small people. They're running a laundry service that helps the person or washes the laundry for the person who's running the Airbnb. We're talking about the surf school. We're talking about the diving school. We're talking about the nature park or the farm, the family farm, where visitors who are renting the Airbnb come along and they visit and pet the animals. The short-term rentals, Anton, in New York didn't work. And can we come closer to home and talk about Portugal? Portugal are in the process now of repealing overly restrictive measures. They were introduced about a year ago. And in actual fact, the city of Porto, which is a beautiful city to visit, it's taking what I view as a highly data-driven and sensible approach based on evidence. And they're limiting new short-term rentals in busy areas. But they're also viewing short-term rentals as a basis for urban regeneration where it's needed.
And on that note, Cindy, what about then the issue of individual property rights? Because we haven't had Airbnb for decades, but we have had B&Bs for decades. There have been regular people in suburban and urban areas who have used their homes as B&Bs and to provide short-term accommodation. So why are we now saying that you shouldn't be permitted to do what has been done for decades?
We're saying this because European legislation and EU law, which came into effect in 2024, a directive was issued whereby looking at the huge increase in short-term lettings, not just in our cities, but throughout the rest of our countries, throughout the rest of Europe, had to be looked at. It was admitted by that piece of legislation and in the research that was done in the run-up that STRs or short-term rentals, they create opportunities for guests and hosts and the entire tourist ecosystem, exactly what I've been talking about. But, however, the growth of the STRs, the short-term rentals, it was also triggering concerns, particularly in relation to people who couldn't afford housing, couldn't get long-term rental, and also the quality of life for people in neighbourhoods which were over-touristed and perhaps had too many short-term lettings and so forth. So there was a lot of problems identified. And as a result, like a lot of legislation that comes from Europe, it has to be Europe-wide, with the implementation being left to the sovereign decision of the government in question. And the government, there will be a debate about this, Anton, and there needs to be a proper debate about this, because the last thing we want to do is we do not want to lose jobs to tourism. And it's not just me saying it. Jim Power is a very experienced economist and very well-renowned economist. He wrote a report, which I read, on the impact of this legislation on the Irish economy. And he said the removal of the short-term rental offerings in Kerry, which I referenced there, it would cost that county's tourism $72 million annually. And Cork next door, it would cost it $50 million annually. Now, at a time where the geopolitical situation is shifting very rapidly, we need to really consider our indigenous offering here of tourism and our indigenous businesses.
Indeed, given the combination of you being a member of one of the government partners and the evident scepticism in your view about this legislation, do you think it stands a chance of being passed in its current form?
My scepticism is not a negative scepticism. I just want to debate it. If the evidence can show that this can help, but most of all, what I want to do is have this debated properly. Could I just say it was with much, much despair that I went through the finer points in this draft bill and I found out that the adjudication process in relation to the fines that you mentioned, Anton, in the introduction there, the adjudication of those fines against the platform in question, that process is going to be convoluted and red tape, what I'm talking about and talking against every day of the week. There's going to be a three-person adjudication panel put in place. They need to set up oral hearings. They need to take evidence. And after that, has to follow a cumbersome decision-making process. And if a financial penalty is awarded and set down by that adjudication panel, that can be appealed. Now, wait for it. Not to the district court, where legal costs are cheapest, not to the circuit court, but it's appealed to the High Court.
Well, it'll be interesting to see whether or not that makes its way through the legislative process. Cynthia, thank you very much. That is Cynthia Ní Mhuireacu, who is, of course, Fianna Fáil MEP for Ireland South and member of the European Transport and Tourism Committee.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.